Okay, so we're in our journal reading. We've been reading kind of up to Easter. This is kind of the Passion Week. We're getting ready to head to Good Friday. And today is Palm Sunday. And so from some of the reading this last week, the message this morning comes from John chapter 3. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be there this morning looking at maybe the most famous verse in the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm reading it from a version of the Bible called the Passion Version, and this is what it says. For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. Here's the point. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. Let me pray. God, thank you for your word. I pray that your word would begin to transform our hearts by your Holy Spirit today. God, that we would meditate upon this last week of your life. And God, that we would be changed. That we as individuals and as a community, God, we begin to see your hand at work in our lives transforming us, God, into the people that you've designed and redeemed us to be. And we thank you, God, that it's by your Holy Spirit, it's your presence that transforms us. God, we thank you that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus in this place, across the street and around the world. In your name I pray, amen. I grew up loving the easy way. Can I get an amen? I love the easy way. I used to always, you know, say glib things like, work smarter, not harder. Am I right? Right? I did not like doing things the hard way. And I tell you what, as a parent, I'm reaping the benefits of that. Right? Have you ever heard that question? Has it ever been posed to you? Do you want to do this the easy way or do you want to do it the hard way? You'd be like, yeah, I'll go ahead and choose the hard way. Seriously? Nobody chooses the hard way. Right, you mostly only hear it in the movies, right? And it's usually cops saying it. So maybe it's not much of a thing. But I do not like doing things the hard way. The easy way always tempted me. It's how I got through 11th grade trigonometry. It's the easy way. I went to a Christian school where they gave you the answers to things. And then they told you to use the honor system in scoring it. I don't think they'd ever met teenagers. I think I cheated the whole year in trigonometry. And which is probably a good thing because I've never once used it in my life since then. Right? I wanted to get it done quick. I'd cut the corners, letting the ends justify the means. Minimizing the pain as much as possible. I had an interesting ratio for my teenage years. It was achieve optimal outcome with as limited effort as possible. It was a very technical ratio. My dad, it drove him absolutely nuts, right? He's like, Ryan, why do you do so little? Why do you only do what you need to get by? You have so much potential. Oh, I'm reaping the whirlwind. Just so you know, I have made my bed, and now I get to make it every day with my own teenager. But as a teenager and a young adult, I chose ease. I chose comfort over doing difficult things. When I was in my 20s, I joined a missions organization because it was the easy way for me to look spiritual and do some international travel, right? Like it looked good on the resume. It was the easy way, though, and I didn't have to deal with my past problems. I didn't have to deal with the situations that were difficult. I just left. And, of course, my dad, being the very perceptive person that he is, looked me in the eyes and said, you know, you take you with you wherever you go. Jonah. And I was like, my name's Ryan, Dad. I don't know what you're talking about. Right? And so I joined this missions organization, and like I had a great time until it was time for this kind of elongated missions trip. It was like a 2.5-month missions trip to southern China. And as it happened, for some strange reason, they asked me to be a student leader. And I was like, sure, right? Yeah, I can do that. And not realizing that it was hard. And see, I think looking back on it now, and I'm a bit grateful for it, is that things don't always turn out the way that you think they will. It's often very different than what you expected. And so we made our way to southern China, and like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Our leader and I did not get on well. And in fact, he drove me absolutely crazy. And so I did the easy thing. I worked very hard to make his life as hard as possible. I began to get so frustrated and angry because what we were doing wasn't what I thought I had signed up for. And like we were there to work at an orphanage, which was great, but you can't be there all the time. And so we would go out without a translator and we would do these like musical live action dramas in crowded city streets with no translator. And then after they were over, we would hand out Bible tracts. At least I think they were Bible tracts because I couldn't read the language. I didn't know what they said or what they meant. And we would hand them out till they were gone. And then we would go back to the missions house. And I began to get so discouraged, so disgruntled, so angry that even I'm ashamed to admit this, right? But when we would do those dramas, I would take my packet of Bible tracts and I would dispose of them and I would go to the arcade and play Street Fighter III. It was a brand new game at the arcade. Like I'm not happy about admitting that. But see, I just want to remind you that I liked the easy way. I was in love with the easy way. And here I am, you know, growing up around the church. My dad was a missionary and a pastor. I grew up around the things of God. And I found myself at a crossroads, a difficulty, seeing God at work in the pain, seeing him at work in the difficulty, seeing him even evident in the chaos. I couldn't see it. And I was ready to pack it all in. I wanted the easy way out. I stopped reading my Bible because it was easier. I stopped even trying to be kind to people on my team as a student leader because it was the easy way. But I still really enjoy reading, right? And see, God has got this, I think, just a little bit devious kind of character in him. He knew that I liked reading. And so I thought, I got to spend my time somehow, right? I'm definitely not doing what they asked me to anymore. So I was looking for a book to read because I'm definitely not reading my Bible. And I really admired this writer by the name of Philip Yancey. I had read a book of his called Disappointment with God, and I thought it was really good. And so I'm on this missions trip, and I found a book by Philip Yancey at the missions house. And I opened it up, and I started reading, and this was the first paragraph in this book. It said, I first got acquainted with Jesus when I was a child, singing Jesus Loves Me in Sunday school, and addressing bedtime prayers to dear Lord Jesus. I'd watch Bible club teachers move cutout figures across the flannel graph board. I associated Jesus with Kool-Aid and sugar cookies and gold stars for good attendance. And I was hooked because that was my understanding and experience of Jesus. I thought, I can relate to this guy. This is the Jesus that I met. And he began to take me on a journey and introduce me to a Jesus that I had never met before. A Jesus that never once looked for the easy way out. In fact, he was the one who did the difficult things. And that book was called The Jesus I Never Knew. I really endorse it. It's a great book. I began to devour it. And I began to see a Jesus that I had never really met before. And as it came to a point where he's talking about kind of this passion week that we're in, he writes these words. He says, every time I read this story, I feel swept away by the sheer drama. The simple, unadorned rendering has a grinding power. I can almost hear a bass drum beating dolefully in the background. No miracles break in. No supernatural rescue attempts. This tragedy is beyond Shakespeare. The might of the world, the most sophisticated religious system of its time, is allied with the most powerful political empire, and they've arrayed themselves against a solitary figure, the only perfect man who's ever lived. Though he is mocked by the powers and abandoned by his friends, the Gospels give the strong, ironic sense that he himself is overseeing the whole long process. He's resolutely set his face for Jerusalem, knowing the fate that awaits him. The cross has been his goal all along, and now as death nears, he's the one calling the shots. And I began to be introduced again to a Jesus who didn't know anything about the easy way. And I was challenged, and I was confronted with my own decisions. I was challenged and confronted with my own transformation process that I had left in the dust because I had decided that the easy way was the way that I wanted to go. And in my journey, I've realized this over time, that when I choose the easy way, I'm choosing ease over difficulty. I'm choosing regret over risk. I'm choosing comfort over courage. And I'm choosing myself over others. And I think what I continue to learn, even now as a dad dealing with the same kinds of behaviors that I myself live with, is that comfort, that easy way that I'm always looking for as a young adult, it will always nullify the transformation process in my life. I will never become, or we will never become, who God designed us to be, who he redeemed us to be, if we continue to choose the easy way. Today is Palm Sunday. It's an opportunity for us to meditate on that last week of Jesus, to remember Jesus as he appears in Jerusalem riding on a donkey, right? Palm fronds and coats on the ground, coming in that posture of peace, right? The exact opposite of the political and military might that Rome showed. He comes in an opposite spirit, with the lips of people praising him, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The people who in just a few short days would be singing out for his crucifixion. In the last week of the life of Jesus, we see it begins with this story of him clearing the temple. And then there's controversy and questions about the authority of Christ. Always questions about the authority by which he does things. And eventually, the betrayal, the rejection, and the torture that led to his death. As we take time to think about this week, I hope that you will meditate on it. Let this week be a time where that meditation can propel you into a new way of seeing life, moving away from the easy way into the Jesus way. This story in John chapter 3 is a simple story of Jesus meeting with one of these rulers, these political rulers of the Jewish Pharisees. And so he's kind of explaining to Nicodemus what this new life looks like. And so Jesus is saying this to him, and it starts in verse 14 is where I want to pick it up. It says, Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness. In the same way, the Son of Man must also be lifted up. Then all those who believe in him will experience everlasting life. For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. And here's the point. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it. Instead, he's here to rescue a world headed for certain destruction. I love how Eugene Peterson writes it. It says that God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son so that he could merely shake an accusing finger at it. He came to help. He came to put things right. Consider the love of God expressed through Jesus. For us today, I'd hope that we consider laying aside the easy way and continue on the road of transformation into the Jesus way. At first glance, the Jesus way feels pretty simple. It's pretty plain in theory. It's others first, but it's incredibly difficult to live out. That's why it's so important for us to maintain a living environment of this thing I call the room of grace. The room of grace is where we live when we live in humility, when we live in a place that says, I don't want the easy way. I want to live like Jesus did. And there's a couple of things from John 3:16 that I want to pull out this morning that I think exemplify the way of Jesus. And the first one is this, is that the way of Jesus, or the Jesus way, is recklessly extravagant. Recklessly extravagant. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That might be the most reckless, extravagant thing that I've ever heard. When we think of the word extravagant, we think kind of opulence, right? Like the ability to give more and more because they have the means to give more and more. But that word before it, reckless, means that it's going to spend everything. He's willing to spend everything on this one thing, which is others. I'm reminded of the story in the Gospels where Jesus is watching people put money into the offering. And he notices a widow who puts in just what they call a widow's mite, less than a penny. And he looks at his disciples and he says, this widow has given more than anyone else. She's given all that she has to live on. It's recklessly extravagant. It's the easy way for us to live for ourselves, but Jesus shows us a different way. Jesus spends his life on what matters most, which is people. In John chapter 10, he tells us, no one takes my life, but I lay it down freely, sacrificing it for us. The way of Jesus chooses a self-sacrificial and recklessly extravagant love. And we have the choice to engage with that or not. We have the choice to love as Jesus loved or not. What would it look like in our families if we loved that way? What would it look like? What would change in our workplace or in our relationships if we loved the way Jesus loved? The way of Jesus is recklessly extravagant, but it's also indiscriminately compassionate. We come to the second part of that verse, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In his book, Abba's Child, Brennan Manning talks about this idea of indiscriminate compassion. He says, take a look at a rose. Is it possible for the rose to say, I'll offer my fragrance to good people and withhold it from bad people? Or can you imagine a lamp that withholds its rays from a wicked person who seeks to walk in its light? It could do that only by ceasing to be a lamp. And observe how helplessly and indiscriminately a tree gives shade to everyone, good and bad, young and old, high and low, to animals and humans and every living creature, even to the one who seeks to cut it down. This is the first quality of compassion, its indiscriminate character. What makes the kingdom come is a heartfelt compassion, a way of tenderness that knows no frontiers, no labels, no compartmentalizing, and no divisions. You see, it's easy for us to decide who we're going to be compassionate for or with. We make up lists and labels. And it divides us, but it also shows us who's in and who's out. And we use these lists and these labels to decide who's worth loving and being compassionate for. But Jesus shows us a different way. He doesn't operate like that. His love goes much deeper, calling to and connecting with even the most broken. No one who meets Jesus simply walks away from him. When we meet Jesus, we're called to transformation. We're being changed into his very image. The old way, the old life, the flesh, it cries out for the easy way. But the more we follow Jesus intentionally, the more Jesus will change us. The more intentionally we follow Jesus, the more Jesus will change us. He leads us into a new life, a life in which his extravagant love and his indiscriminate compassion will conquer everything. So back to my missions trip, right? I was struggling. I was withdrawing. I was spending all my time reading this book, The Jesus I Never Knew, while not really changing anything about my behavior. I had withdrawn completely, and we did this thing, right, where we'd get together with another group who was on a different team, another missions trip team, and we got together for this thing that we called a love feast, which is ironic because I wasn't loving anybody but myself. And so we got together, we're down by the ocean, eating outside, awesome food, and my school, like my missions leader, had journeyed from the States to come and be a part of this. And he's talking to me, you know, he's like, how's it going as a student leader? And I'm like, you are the craziest person I've ever met to put this responsibility on me. I'm doing a terrible job. I'm not even sure if I'm going to be a Christian after this trip. And he was like, okay, talk to me about it. Tell me what's going on, you know. And so we're working through it, and he's challenging me, right? He's like, Ryan, like, what if you made a different decision? Like, what if you chose to live like Jesus instead of the easy way? What if you spent the next 3 weeks of this trip choosing the Jesus way instead of the Ryan way? What could happen? You know, and I wasn't so far gone as that I could not but feel the Holy Spirit just tapping me on the chest, right, and saying, this is a good idea, Ryan. Move in the direction that I've called you. And so I looked at my friend Scott and I said, okay, I'll do it. I'm going to choose the Jesus way. And it was 3 weeks of hell. Right? Like, how is it that it works that way sometimes, right? Like, you make the right decision, you move in the direction of Jesus, or you move in the direction of community, and like, it just seems like everything just goes to hell. And you're like, what? Why is it happening this way? And you see, here's what I've learned, right, is that in the transformation process, the first steps of transformation that we'll ever see are in hindsight. Like, who's ever just gone up and gone to the gym and thought, I'm going to be a healthy person, and then the next day could barely walk, right? And you're like, you get on the scale and you're like 3 pounds heavier, and you just feel terrible, so you go grab the bag of Doritos. Has anybody ever done that? Just me? Okay. Okay, just me. Right? But like, it's painful. That first step in this choosing the Jesus way is always met by pain. It's always met by difficulty, and it's always a decision that we continue to make to move in the direction of Jesus. And I did. I moved in that direction, and things just got worse. But my attitude got better. Like, I was intentionally following Jesus, and over the course of that 3 weeks, I began to see things happening, right? Like, I began to see opportunities for forgiveness. I began to see opportunities for me to make things right with people that I had hurt. I was so frustrated and angry. I did some very terrible things to the leader. And at the end of the trip, the guy who's kind of in charge of everything sits me down and he's like, I really want you to come back as a staff member. And I'm like, you are legitimately crazy. Like, everything about this experience was wrong and bad. And he says, no, it wasn't. He says, that last 3 weeks, you really showed what it is that God could do in you and through you. And I said, yeah, but like, that guy, my leader from the team, is also coming back on staff, and I still am pretty sure all I want to do is choke him. And he's like, well, you got to work that out. Like, if you're going to come back and be a part of this, you got to work that out. And I'm like, again, I'm confronted with, am I going to choose the easy way or am I going to choose the Jesus way? And man, it wasn't easy because I still didn't like him. I was mad at him because he wasn't the leader I wanted him to be. He definitely wasn't the leader I would have been because I was even worse than him. Right? And so we went and we sat down and we began to work it out, right? We sat down at this table and we spent hours trying to just hashing out what we didn't like about each other. And it was raw and it was real. And we prayed together. And I still was unconvinced, right? Like part of me was holding back. And then over the next year that I got to work with this guy, we ended up having one of the best relationships. He actually invited me to be a part of his wedding, be a groomsman in his wedding. That God will change the scenario and the environment if you intentionally follow him. But comfort will always nullify that transformation process. We've got to learn to be people of courage instead of comfort. We've got to be people of risk instead of regret. We need to be people that choose the way of Jesus instead of the way of ourselves. And that means always being up for something that's difficult instead of something that's easy. We've got an awesome opportunity this week to really meditate on just exactly what it is that Jesus did. And it's an awesome opportunity for us to remember how much God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe on him would have full and everlasting life.